Thank you for this day. Thank you, God, that we can be together and lift up the name of Jesus together. God, we are so thankful for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us in the pit. You didn't leave us in our shame. You delivered us by the blood of your Son. And God, we will forever be grateful. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message today is Out of the Pit. However, listening to James' message last week, I said this could be Choices Part 2. Just going along with what James shared with us last week. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 40. And in this psalm, it's actually David's cry for help. But the thing that struck me as I read this was it also speaks to the fact that I was in a pit before I met Jesus. And I'm going to share with you part of my story today. But let's look at Psalms chapter 40. It says, I waited patient for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me out from a desolate pit, out of the muddy clay. He set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. In my life, there was a time that I just didn't see where God was real. I had been raised going to church, but I wasn't in fellowship with God. I wasn't in relationship with Him. But waiting on God is not easy. David received four benefits from waiting on God. The first is, as we read there, is that he lifted him out of despair. He lifted him out of the pit. The second was his feet were placed on a rock. The third is that he gave him a firm place to stand. And four, he put a new song of praise in his mouth. Hallelujah. We spend our lives looking for answers, but often in all the wrong places. Yeah. Am I right?
Yes.
So I want to share with you today that I didn't grow up as a Christian. You know, many of you may believe that Pastor James and Pastor Roy were always saved. You know, that they never sinned. Well, I'll let them do the disclaimer on that. But for me, I did plenty.
Yes.
Me too.
My life was a series of choices. Mostly wrong choices. I didn't have the benefit of being taught as a child that virginity was something to be cherished and protected. And so I lived a promiscuous life. I spent a lot of time doing drugs and alcohol. I had a very, very rebellious life. I'm not proud of it. Even today, there are times that I think, God, I am so ashamed of what I did. But I have to remind myself that He bore my shame.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let me tell you that if you've got things in your life that you are ashamed of, understand it's not yours. Jesus took it. He bore it on the cross. And if you hold on to your shame, then what you're doing is actually making that an idol that you worship.
Yeah.
It becomes something that you're now saying is bigger than the price that Christ paid for your salvation.
True.
And we've got to change our thinking.
Right.
That song that we listened to, you know, we're not supposed to bear that shame. Because there was a price, a supreme price that was paid for our shame. It's not ours. You know, the whole purpose behind the crucifixion was to hang somebody up on a cross on public display to shame them. But the ultimate shame, the ultimate penalty was to be hung on a cross naked.
Yes.
Folks, my Jesus hung on the cross naked for you and me.
Yes.
He bore my shame. He bore your shame. It's not yours anymore. Release it. Be thankful that he did that for us. Now, contrary to what some believe, God does not have any grandchildren. Let me say that to you again. God does not have any grandchildren. Okay? I joke around sometimes because I got some grandkids that I really love. No, I love them all. But I tell people sometimes, you know what grandchildren are? Grandchildren are God's gift and reward for not killing your kids.
Amen. I gave my mom a lot of gifts.
But sometimes people grow up in the church and they believe, well, mom and dad went to church, I'm a mom and dad, so I must be okay. Well, that's not the case. There is only one way to get to heaven.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You don't get to go to heaven on mom and dad's coattail.
Nope.
Or mama's apron strings. You don't get to go to heaven just because you were made to go to church. My choices not only caused me a great deal of pain, but it caused a great deal of pain to others around me. I see some of you shaking your heads. You're going, yeah, I can relate to that. My mistakes, my choices. I spent a good part of my life being addicted to drugs and alcohol. And I so regret the choices that I made. But can I tell you that out of that pit, Jesus called me.
Yes.
And he saved me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I am so thankful.
Yes.
For what he has saved me from. Excuse me. I'm so thankful that he delivered me from my addictions. I spent a good part of my life being addicted to pornography. It was a controlling factor in my life that I never dreamed that I was addicted to it. I thought, this is just me by myself. Nobody knows about it. It's just me. And yet it caused so much pain. Pornography for me was the other woman in my marriage. And I am so afraid, I'm just so sorry for the pain that I caused my wife through my addiction. I didn't realize it at the time, but as more time went on with me and my addictions and my wrong choices and everything else, the closer that I was getting to hell. And I kept moving that way. And my thoughts were, it's my life, I can make my own choices. I can do what I want. But the whole time that I was making the wrong choices with my drugs and my alcohol and my pornography and everything else that was going on in my life and the worship that I had for money and possessions, all of that was drawing me closer and closer to hell.
True.
But I thought I was okay. As James shared with us last week, I was just making choices. I didn't think it mattered. I didn't think it would bother anybody else. But that path of destruction led to a time in my life when God brought me to the very end of myself.
Okay. Hallelujah.
And I had to look up towards heaven.
Yes.
And I had to say, God, would you please forgive me?
Yes.
I had to overcome the thinking process that said, this is too big for God. My junk was real. And when I realized that Jesus was calling me and for me to have to get to the place that I would hold up each sin before him and say, this Jesus? Even that, Mike. What about this Jesus? Even that. There was nothing that I could do that could keep me out of his love. And you know what? There's nothing I could do today that he's ever going to stop loving me. He is the very definition of unconditional love.
Yes.
Amen.
If we turn to John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Amen.
Jesus says that he is the only, the one and only way to get to the Father.
Amen.
I know that there's a lot of people out there that say, well, you know, that's pretty narrow-minded, and so there's other ways that you can get to heaven. There is no other way, folks. You can't be good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't sing enough. You can't pray enough. There is nothing you could do except through Jesus to get to heaven. I've heard people preach that there are other ways that you can be good enough to get to heaven. And I am so sorry that those words are being spoken, that those lies are being perpetrated, even in the church, folks. But then you look at it when Jesus says, there's no other way but by me to get to heaven, you think, well, that's pretty narrow. Well, let me tell you something about that narrow road. It's wide enough that the whole world could go down that road.
Okay.
The price was paid for everyone. God's will is that none should perish.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And so his desire is that we would all come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But that only happens when we make the choice not just to know him, okay? Because the Bible says that even the demons know who he is and they tremble. They got enough sense to tremble. Many of us don't have enough sense to be afraid. But there's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus. And so it's about a relationship with him. It's about making him the Lord of my life. And sadly, folks, we see so many times, we were talking about it yesterday, that we've taken the command of Christ in the Great Commission where he says, go ye therefore make disciples. We change it because it's easier to do that if we just say, go therefore and make converts. But that's not what Jesus said. That when we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that means you're Lord, you're the boss, you're the one that I will follow fully.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But then, just like little Michael here, you know, he needs somebody to help him learn.
Yes.
This little guy has to learn how to chew. And so you don't just give Michael a piece of steak and say, pig out, kid. No, he's got to learn. He's got to have somebody teach him. And as Christians, the first call that we have is to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
So the first thing we've got to do is we got to love God's Word and be a part of what he's calling us to do. And then, folks, we need to be discipled.
Yes.
You cannot disciple somebody that doesn't want to be discipled. You have to be willing to say, will you disciple me? He talks about it sometimes, but several years ago when I met Pastor Roy, I thought, man, there's something about that man. I saw him and I saw him as somebody that I could learn something from. And so I intentionally went to him and said, would you disciple me? And I don't know why he said it still to this day. I don't understand it. But he said, how about if we disciple one another?
Amen.
And so we've been in relationship for several years. And we have developed a relationship where we can speak into each other's lives.
Yeah.
We can challenge each other.
Yes.
I know that me just being in his life is a challenge for Pastor Roy. I heard you say amen. But folks, as we learned yesterday in the kingdom man thing, is that we've got a responsibility, as he talked about, was the importance of passing on the baton. We've got to disciple others and pass on to them a spiritual legacy. So that they can grow in it. And then they grow, as they grow in it, they give it to somebody else. Becoming a Christian is not just following somebody else's words and praying the same words that somebody else prayed and then go on with your life and you think, okay, now I've got fire insurance.
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. And I'm telling you that I firmly believe that the church is full of people, not everybody, but there are a bunch of people in church today that are going to hell.
All right. All right.
Boy, this is not a feel-good message, is it?
But it's true.
It's very true.
Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the only way. He said, I am the truth. It is through him that we gain the knowledge and the truth of what being a Christian really is all about. It's a journey. And Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Well, if you want to know what the plans are, you got to plug in. Ephesians tells us that we are his workmanship to hang out in church. It doesn't say that. We are his workmanship created for good works. He has a purpose and a plan for our lives. As Judy was sharing earlier, I thought, dadgum, she's stealing my message. That's all right, Judy. But folks, I don't know where you are today, but if you're in the place that because of relationships, because of struggles, because of financial issues or health issues or whatever, if you see yourself in a pit, call out to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
The thing that Judy said this morning that I so appreciated is that if you sense that God has a call on your life, take that call and lay it at his feet and say, God, what do you want to do with this? He is the one true life. There's nobody else. There's no plan B. You know, I heard a story one time about Gabriel and Jesus having a conversation after Jesus had gone on to heaven. Gabe says to him, says, well, Jesus, how did it go? And Jesus says, well, I think it went well. Well, tell me what happened. He said, well, I met these 12 guys and I spent time with them. I walked with them. We ate together. We hung out. And I poured into them everything that God gave to me. And then I left it with them. And Gabe says, wait a minute, Jesus. Those guys were just common guys. There wasn't a single one of them that was a preacher or a rabbi. They were sorry fishermen. There was even a tax collector. Those are just common guys. Jesus, what have you done? What happens if they just forget what you taught them and they don't carry it forward? And Jesus looks at Gabriel and he says, Gabriel, there is no plan B.
Amen. We're all plan A.
Huh?
We're all plan A.
We're all plan A, that's right. Those 12 guys changed the world. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, we have a call of God in our lives to change the world.
Amen.
This other video that I want to share with you this morning is my story. I heard it years ago. I happened to go to a concert at a church, and Wayne Watson was there, and he sang this song, and I said, that's my story. And for years, every time I heard it, I would just weep because it just so describes my life. Maybe it'll speak to you about yours as well, but I told Wendy, I said, if God takes me home before you, this is the song that I want played at my funeral, at my memorial service. Jesus is the only way, folks.
Yes.
There is no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. God didn't make us to be robots. He made us to have a free will.
Amen.
Yes.
And we get to choose. Heaven or hell.
Yep.
If you're in a pit today, if you're struggling with some of the choices that you've made, then at the end of the service, James and Judy are going to be standing up here and they'll be here to pray with you. Whether it be that you need to surrender your life to Christ or you just need them to pray for you to help you out of some bad choices, they're going to pray with you. But let's pray together right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the touch of the Master's hand. Thank you, God, that you didn't make us to spend eternity in hell. You made us to spend eternity with you in heaven. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as Lord of their life, that today would be the day that not only they would decide to make him Lord, but they would also seek out somebody to disciple them.
Yes.
That they could grow. That we could all become the men and women of God that you called us to be, Lord. Father, I'm so thankful for the privilege you give me to be able to share with this congregation the word that you put on my heart today. And Father, I pray a blessing over every member of this congregation, even the ones that are not able to be here today, Lord. God, truly, we have so much to be grateful for. We have a lot of blessings. But the greatest blessing of all is the death of your son. The price that was paid for us to be able to spend eternity with you. And God, we receive that. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you thanks, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all.